start this off with a bold statement, as is my custom. And I'll say it right now. Weighed myself in Publix yesterday. I got some work to do. Buck fans will be appalled. Ziti spaghetti with meatballs, chicken parmesan. He's going to come off like a moron. What? What are you talking about? And then the cannolis came out, you know, with the good icing, with the good filling. Not that junk you get at Publix. It's ludicrous. Those are the facts.
Yay. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Pasco County, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. These are voluntary, Ira, these podcasts, but you show up anyway. You're just like Shaq Mason at OTAs, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. It is time to buy your vehicle from GM Sean Sullivan. He's got $2,000 for you, $500 in gift cards, $500 in Ford bonus cash, and an extra $1,000 from Bill Curry Ford to double that bonus cash. It's all at BillCurryFord.com. There's a link to build your vehicle that you want, to customize it, at JoeBucksFan.com. No money down, no deposit. Order your vehicle. Sean, like he tells everybody on his Best in Class podcast, if something changes and you don't want the vehicle, all right, no problem. He'll sell it to somebody else. That's how the auto business is right now. So many great offers to take advantage of. A nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles at Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Get there right now. Shop anytime. And these fantastic offers are only available till the end of the month. So you want to take advantage of that on this Memorial Day weekend or before. And of course, we love Big Storm beer, Ira, but we love the Big Storm food at their tap rooms as well. Great place to dine out. You can sit outside, inside, live music. Find your tap room at BigStormBrewery.com, but the flagship gorgeous location is in Clearwater, just south of Almerton Road on 49th Street. And of course, there's the Odessa location off State Road 54. Fantastic. And in Amway Center in Orlando, in Cape Coral, coming very soon to Ybor City, BigStormBrewery.com. And we'll hear later, Ira, about the fantastic offer for your listeners and Joe Bucks fan readers at Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first phone call every time you have any sort of disaster in your home or at your business, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Call them 24/7. Sage, the Bucks are back practicing this week. We've officially got five OTAs in the books, five spring practices with actual underwear football action. Media has been available to watch two of those practices. And Todd Bowles didn't have a whole lot to say because that's Todd Bowles, of course. But he did drop a couple of nuggets, Ira. One of them is that he doesn't expect Joe Tryon Soyinka to be Jason Pierre-Paul, which is kind of interesting considering he may be replacing Jason Pierre-Paul. And he also said that Russell Gage is hurt and, quote, it shouldn't be anything serious for training camp. I would have much preferred, Ira, to hear him say, oh, it's a day-to-day thing, it's nothing, you know, a couple of weeks, or he could play tomorrow, but we get, it shouldn't be anything serious for training camp. It didn't sound so great, but Ira, how are you? Lee DeCamper's here from Joe Bucks Fan. I'm Steve Isbitz. What's up, Ira?
The biggest news of the week is I'm up a pound and a half, DeCamper. Up a pound and a half. Not proud of it.
And Memorial Day is right around the corner. Oof.
It doesn't all go well, Lee. Doesn't all go well. The wedding was Saturday. Show up Friday night. The hotel. They got some kind of pre-wedding celebration. I go in and Lee, the cuisine was ziti spaghetti with meatballs, chicken parmesan, every Italian dish you could pick. Italian bread. You got the wine rolled out. Very rough on the sage diet. Weighed myself in Publix yesterday. I got some work to do. But we're here to talk about the Bucks, Stevie. And, Steve, I still can't believe we're sitting here 2 months from training camp. We got no idea about Sue. We think we know about Gronkowski. Lee, it's a little bit unnerving to me. The Gronkowski thing, all the signs are positive. He's doing this with Brady. He's doing that with Brady. We don't think he wants to go to training camp. That's fine. Now we hear about Gage. Lee, based on what I heard, it doesn't sound like he'll be at mandatory minicamp. in a couple of weeks. That looks like it's beyond his grasp. So now we're talking about training camp. I'm not overly concerned, Lee. He's a veteran. He's not a rookie. I don't think it's going to take long to develop a rapport with Brady if he's healthy. If he's healthy. And, Lee, I'm going to start this off with a bold statement, as is my custom.
Oh.
And there's something going on that I don't like. And I don't like it from some Buck fans, not all Buck fans. But they got short memories, Lee. And here's what I mean. Some of these Buck fans are saying, wait a minute. Tampa Bay's offensive line is going to be better in 2022 than it was the past 2 years and certainly last year. I don't get it. Is Shaq Mason better than Alex Kappa? Probably. You can't tell me that this rookie Gedeky or Stinney or Leverett or Hainsey is a step up from Marpet. Lee, I don't like this history where all of a sudden Marpet's just a guy and Shaq Mason's at least as good as Marpet. Who's to say that, Lee? I'm not thinking the offensive line's going to be better.
I agree. Absolutely agree, Ira. I'm not saying it's going to be a bad offensive line. I don't think so. But that Bucs offensive line was together for how many years? And we hear this a lot from coaches, especially offensive line coaches, how stability is so important in an offensive line. And we heard this when Tristan Wirfs went down in the playoffs, that, you know, that line basically crumbled in the first half, and largely because, you know, Wirfs wasn't in there. I'm not saying Wirfs controlled the whole line, but it was communication. It was all kinds of things, all kinds of factors. And that was one of the rocks of the Bucs, that offensive line, in part because they were together for, what, 3 years, Ira, am I right?
You're right.
Wirfs, 3 years with DeMar Dotson at right tackle. I just can't go there and say they're going to be better. I hope it changes, but right now I can't say they're going to be as good as last year. I can't say that. Not right now. Maybe in October I could say that, but not right now.
Steve, just because Ali Marpet decided to retire, Steve, that's no reason to diminish his emergence as one of the, you know, top 10 left guards in football. And all of a sudden they're thinking, Gedeky moves in for Marpet, no big deal. Maybe Finney, no loss there. Kappa wasn't that good. This is all revisionist history, Steve. I'm not buying it.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Ira, and I don't even think the Bucs believe that they can replace Ali Marpet this year. You know, Gedeky, even if he plays well, he's probably not as good as Marpet as a veteran, and Stinney is Stinney, and the other guys don't have really any experience. Stinney's only started 4 games in his career, so I don't think they expect that, but they do believe Shaq Mason's an upgrade, and a lot of people do. The PFF tribe says he is. For whatever that's worth, I believe that Tristan Wirfs, Ira, that I believe that Wirfs will be a better player this year. I don't see any reason why he's not on the rise as a veteran, you know, as a bigger, stronger, you know, smarter guy. Shaq Mason was talking about how much he's a student of the game and how detailed he is and how they're sharing chatter. But I don't expect Jensen to be better. I don't expect Smith to be better. So maybe it's a wash, but I'll throw this stat at you, Ira. I did the numbers. It's the time of year to do what you call original research, Ira. It drives you a little nuts, but it's that time of year. The last 2 years, Sage, Tom Brady has been sacked 43 times, and that is the lowest number over the last 2 years in the NFL. So,
fantastic.
So that's the best protection in the NFL the last 2 years. But if you combine those 43 sacks over 2 seasons, the previous 2 season total for Brady, the best he's ever endured over 2 seasons, was 41 sacks. And you have to go back to 2009 and 2010. But he threw the ball a lot less with those Patriots teams. So, bottom line is, the last 2 years, it's the best pass protection Tom Brady has ever experienced, period. So,
I think everything you said is right, Steve. And the important thing, Lee, in terms of those 43 sacks, he has thrown, and I think it's by a wide margin. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it's by a substantial margin. Over these 2 years, I think he's thrown substantially more passes than any quarterback in the National Football League. Any.
Currently, you mean?
Yeah, currently. Maybe all time. Maybe all time.
That's saying something.
Yeah.
I gotta highlight something Steve wrote today, and I got to commend him for it. Speaking of research, good research. But you kind of touched upon this, Ira, when you mentioned Russell Gage. Certain people, they think Russell Gage is going to be the next Chris Godwin. Oh, they're not going to miss Godwin at all. He's going to step right in. He's going to be dynamite. He's going to be Pro Bowl material. He's going to show everybody playing with Tom Brady what Atlanta's going to miss. Well, Steve's research, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, your research has found receivers who played with Matt Ryan had their talents maxed out with Matt Ryan. They did not get better when they left Atlanta.
Yeah, Sage, I actually looked at every single receiver that left the nest of Matt Ryan and moved on, every single one. And I only found two guys. One guy was significantly better after he left. That was Taylor Gabriel, not exactly a superstar, but he had some good years. And a guy named Michael Jenkins was a shade better, barely anything, when he went to the Vikings in 2011 after he left Atlanta. But that's it, Ira. That's it. So, and I wrote this because Frank Reich was talking to the media and talking about how he's been blown away by the insane accuracy of Matt Ryan in practice. And so it got me thinking, oh, okay, well, if he's that accurate, then let's, you know, maybe let me look at the receivers and how they performed when they left. So I think it's fair to say, obviously, Tom Brady is incredibly accurate, but is Russell Gage going to step up? And the Bucs probably would be just fine if he's the same guy he was in Atlanta. But a lot of fans think he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, 9 touchdowns, maybe replace Antonio Brown in some ways, Godwin in other ways. I don't know. He may be maxed out.
You know, Steve, that little wrinkle that you uncovered about Matt Ryan's receivers when they move on, you don't hear much from him. By the way, Steve, I think that Mike Jenkins kid, I think he's a local Tampa kid.
I know he went to Ohio State.
Steve, that wrinkle is something that I've said quite often about some of the guys that Brady threw to in New England. Now, of course, I'm not talking about Randy Moss, and I'm not talking about Wes Welker. Those guys, Moss is a Hall of Famer. Welker's a hell of a player. There's been some others. But by and large, some of the guys, the Chris Hogans of the world, that people thought, oh, wait a minute, this guy's going to be the next big thing. He leaves Brady's clutches. You never hear from him again. I didn't realize that you could make the same case for Matt Ryan. I'm a little surprised, Steve, by that. But Lee and I are big Matt Ryan guys. And I think the Colts just got a significant upgrade under center from Carson Wentz. I'm happy for Matt Ryan that he's going to have another chance because that looks like a playoff team to me.
Well, there's two fun wrinkles. One that I did not put in the story. I know it'll get a laugh out of Lee, so I will save that for a second. But the first fun part, Ira, is that Brady and Belichick in 2019, they dumped a second-round pick to Atlanta before the trade deadline because they wanted Mohamed Sanu, and they wanted all that production he had in Atlanta. And he goes up to Tom Brady, and he does absolutely nothing. So it's just kind of interesting, you know? And he was sort of in the mold of Gage in the sense that he could sort of do it all outside, inside, whatever. So, but the funny part is the guy I did not include in the story who did actually thrive when he left Matt Ryan, but thrive I'm using loosely, is the famous Freddie Martino, the man who now hosts at the velvet-lined lounge of the Vero Beach Ramada Inn. Mr. Martino didn't do anything in Atlanta, but he came here and caught, a touchdown and 6 or 7 balls. Ira, Leah, give me a score on the reality meter here. So let's pretend 1 to 10. 10 is he knows what he's talking about. Number 1 would be he doesn't know what he's talking about. Warren Sapp was on local radio yesterday, Ira, made it very clear the Buccaneers will not re-sign Ndamukong Suh. And Sapp said it's because he doesn't have a pass rush anymore, and you just drafted an inside rusher. That doesn't make any sense. Let Logan Hall learn quick and play, and Vita Vea can hold up the middle by himself if he has to.
I'm going to give it a 4, Lee. I'm going to tilt towards he doesn't know what he's talking about. I'll tell you why. Lee, unlike some other guys that you bring up all the time, and you bring them up correctly, I don't believe Warren Sapp has a pipeline to One Buck Place. I don't. I don't think he's got a relationship to Todd Bowles necessarily, Jason Light, the Glazers, the Casey Rogers. I don't believe that's the case. You don't see Sapp around the complex like you do see some other people that weigh in on the Bucks.
Not of late. Used to be around.
And Steve, here's my biggest point of all. And I understand it to a degree, but I don't think it reflects well on Big 99, who it was my honor to make a speech for, bound for Canton. Steve, he's very begrudging of credit to defensive tackles, judging them. I mean, he can't say anything about Aaron Donald. He can't. He's going to come off like a moron. And I'll say it right now. Aaron Donald is better than Warren Sapp. I said it. He's better. He's done it long enough. He's better all around. That doesn't diminish Sapp at all in my eyes, because Aaron Donald's going to Canton. You know that. And the speech ain't going to take long. But, Steve, my biggest point is, Lee, you've heard him many times. That guy's, he can't push the pile from inside. He can't do this from inside. He's very begrudging of credit, Lee, to defensive tackles, current ones, the guys that came after him. He's tough. And I don't think that's fair to Nam Sue, Lee, because I did a little original research, Lee, and I did a column on the Bucks pass rush and their outlook for 2022. And in doing my research, my main point was about Shaq Barrett, and I think there's a lot of pressure on Barrett. Instead of exerting a lot of pressure, I think there's a lot of pressure on Barrett to stay healthy and have a dynamic season. And I'll tell you why, Lee. Ndamukong Suh, say what you want about him, he was second on the Bucks in sacks, Lee. He had six. He was second. He had more than Vita Vea and more than Will Golston from the inside. And, Lee, in the biggest game of the year, the divisional round playoff against the Rams, the Bucks had eight quarterback hits. He had four of them against Stafford. Four out of the eight. He was a pest that day. He played well. Not a lot of Bucks played well that day. He did. So I'm not going to dump on Ndamukong Suh. I'm giving Sapp a 4 out of 10.
Ira's harsh grading today. I will actually say 8, and I'll explain. I know for a fact Sapp talks with someone who does have a pipeline to One Buck Place. And that's number one. Okay. And number two, I've heard very similar rumors that the Bucks were wanting, they were thinking Sue had slipped with the pass rush. They wanted to get more pass rush from the inside. And that's the main reason why he may not be back. I'm not ruling it out. And I think if they weren't pinched for the salary cap, I think Sue would be back. But Sue's a businessman. He's asking for X amount. And the Bucks, from what I understand, no one from One Buck Place is telling me this. It's outside One Buck Place. The Bucks can't justify paying Sue's salary, number one, because of the salary cap. Number two, they want more of a pass rush inside. Sue, yeah. That's why I'm knocking him down a couple, not a 10. That's why I'm saying Sapp is an 8 as far as accuracy here, because I still think there might be a prayer of Sue coming back. Although, if you go back to what Todd Bowles was saying a couple weeks ago and what Jason Light said at the draft, it sure didn't sound promising.
Well, I'm going to amend my grade, Steve. I'm going to amend it. I'm going to put 2 grades. Whether Sue comes back, I'm going to put a 7 on what Sapp said. But my 4 becomes a 3 on the second part where he's taking a pot shot at Sue. I say 3, you don't know what you're talking about.
Now, to be fair to Warren, he does have very high standards about defensive tackles. And I think that's fair. I don't have a problem with that. And I have heard Sapp speak very highly of Carlos Dunlap when he was in, a couple years ago, when Dunlap was still a factor. I heard him say very, very complimentary things about Carlos Dunlap. So I got to be fair to Sapp there. But I know what you're saying, Ira.
Well, Ira, I'm going to go with Lee. I'm going to give Sapp an 8. I mean, he has text numbers of the Glazers, and he bugs them for stuff. We've seen him hugging it up with Brian Ford, and every time he's in the media room, he's talking about, oh, yeah, if I was talking to Ford, you know, who's the Bucks president or CEO, or whatever his title is. And bottom line is he talks to Derek Brooks. Brooks knows what's going on in that locker room. So I'm going to give him an 8, and we'll see what happens. He was very adamant, and they didn't ask him, do you think he'll be back? Ian Beckles, actually, who was hosting on DAE, said, oh, you know, the Bucks really need to get Sue back. And he's like, no, they don't. They don't want him back. He's not going to be back, and they're not going to re-sign him because X, Y, and Z. Now, Sapp also...
Beckles loves Sue.
Just to move on from there, Sage, Sapp was very complimentary of Vita Vea. He was very down on Joe Tryon-Shoyinka. And so we'll leave it at that there with Mr. Sapp.
Hold on. You said something 10 minutes ago that it just went by the boards, and I think it's more important than that. When Bowles said that it's not fair to expect Joe Tryon-Shoyinka to be a Jason Pierre-Paul Lee, doesn't that tell you there and then that those rumors about JPP's coming back are just nonsense?
JPP coming back is nonsense? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
If I had to bet, I would bet Sue coming back before JPP.
But I'm saying, just for Bowles to say that nobody expects trying, that to me tells me that he's going to take JPP's position. He's going to take it.
Yeah, well, you know, when Logan Hall shows up wearing number 90, that's kind of a giveaway that JPP's done. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from, Ira. It does sound that way.
Let's dispense with any JPP rumors, Steve.
Well, I'm not doing that, Ira. I'll tell you why. Because we have to be realistic and tap our football experience here. That's what this podcast is about. The Bucks are still all in for this year. They know this is the window. Brady's probable last year. If Logan Hall puts the pads on and Jason Light and Todd Bowles look at each other and say, damn, this kid doesn't have it. Not yet. We can't count on him this year. He doesn't have it. And some rookies need a second year. That might get the phone ringing immediately to Sue, or it might get the phone ringing to JPP if Tryon doesn't look any better. You know, Shaq Barrett was talking. Last year, he's screaming, I'm going to be Defensive Player of the Year. I'm going to break the sack record. This is what he was saying a year ago today. And I remember even following up with him at the White House saying, Shaq, you were doing some big talking in May. And he's like, oh, man, I'm all jacked up. I'm going to be Defensive Player of the Year. I meant every word of it. He literally said today, well, if I get one more sack than I got last year, I'll be happy. And I'm just trying to work, work on my craft a little bit. You know, he was asked what his goals are. And he was just like, hey, man, I just want to, you know, earn more years in the league and maybe get a little better than last year. Totally different mindset. Totally different mindset this year from Shaq. I don't know why. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he had some bad sushi or something. I don't know. But Ira, I think the X factor is what Logan Hall looks like and what Tryon actually looks like when they put the pads on. By August, JPP might be healthy from that shoulder surgery. And, you know, if he doesn't have a job somewhere else, you never know.
Lee, I'll bring up that word that we love so much on this podcast. And no, not Bill Curry Ford. Investment, Lee. Investment.
Investiture.
Investiture. Steve, I love you, brother. But it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous to think the Bucks are going to turn on the first guy that they drafted in 2022 and call up the reserves before the first freaking game is played and make a decision about Logan Hall. That's ludicrous. That ain't going to happen.
My whole view of this JPP, Sue, Logan Hall, Joe Tryon circumstance, and I've written this maybe half dozen times already. It just appears you're putting a whole lot of pressure on two young guys to produce close to Pro Bowl level. And both of these guys combined have a grand total of 6 starts among them. I just don't know how that's going to work out.
I'm concerned, Steve. I'm concerned about the ability of this front 7 to generate consistent pressure like they have done the last couple of years. You know, Steve, I did my original research for that column. And, Lee, the Bucks led the league in hurries. They led the league in pressures. They had 47 sacks, number 7 in the league. And they blitzed the hell out of teams, Lee. They're the number 1 blitzing team, 41% of the snaps. I mean, that's a big number. That's a big, big number. And here's why I'm concerned. Say what you want about Sue, but he did have six sacks, and he's not terrible pushing the pocket. He's not. Of course, his forte is run defense. Doesn't mean he can't be a factor on pressure. I think they're relying too much on one guy, and that's Shaq Barrett. Now, with all due respect, Barrett's he's a heck of a pass rusher. I like to spread the wealth, and Lee, and I need you to weigh in on this. The number one blitzer in the league, the guy who blitzed more than anybody else in the entire league was Devin White.
Wow.
And I don't care what Bowles told you about changing roles and this and that. The number that I saw was 133. 133. He was unleashed. And Steve, he got there three times. That's a problem, Steve. That's a problem.
That's a poor percentage.
Sage, when you lead the league in hurries and you lead the league in blitzing, that's not an accomplishment. And what's a hurry anyway? You know, I mean, you're supposed to be hurried when they blitz, but there's also one-on-one coverage and all that. So I don't know. That doesn't mean a lot to me. But I know what you're saying, Ira. But there's also the reality of there aren't a lot of teams that have two Pro Bowl edge rushers. You know, plenty of teams win the Super Bowl every year without two Pro Bowl edge rushers. So they really need Shaq to come up big and just be decent on the other side. Now, when they won the Super Bowl, they had two guys rushing off the edge at a Pro Bowl level. So make no mistake, but they didn't have two Pro Bowlers that year. Shaq was kind of off. He got hot late, and they made a nice run with him. But I'm not worried because I don't see all these other teams with two Pro Bowl edge rushers. And the Rams lost one of theirs on top of that. And I don't know if the Packers really have two Pro Bowl edge rushers. So I'm not too scared there, Sage. I got a little faith, but I don't buy the investiture for a second round pick. Investiture is more like, hey, he's number 16 overall. He's a first round quarterback. You know, I don't know about the number 33 pick, Logan Hall, whether Jason Light's going to go to the mat for that guy when, you know, if he's not as successful, and maybe they can, you know, if Justin Houston sits on the market for a while and they need a boost and a jolt, and he had a good run last year before he faded late in the season, if he's still on the street, I don't know. I don't rule out them making a move to spice up the pass rush.
Well, I'm a little worried about the pass rush, Lee. I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ira. I'm concerned as well.
Yeah, we don't know if it's a strength, and it used to be. So it's legitimate concern, Sage. I'm not knocking you. I'm just I don't know who's got a beastly pass rush. You know, how many teams necessarily do. So that's all I'm saying.
You know what team does? I mean, they're stuck in a brutal division, and they got some holes. But, Lee, I think the Raiders added Chandler Jones, and they got Max Crosby, who's a beast. That's pretty good off the edges, Lee. That's pretty good.
That's pretty impressive. You're right. No question.
Ira, summer's here, storm season is here, and that means you have to have Florida's EliteRestoration.com right there ready on your phone and on your laptop so you know who to call when there's a disaster. Florida's Elite Restoration has a $500 offer for Joe Bucks Fan readers and Ira Kaufman podcast listeners, but you have to mention it if you use their service right up front. And what does that mean? That means you still get a free assessment in your home if you have a disaster, a fire, flood, storm damage, mold, whatever it might be. You call Florida's Elite Restoration, they're going to come out and check everything out in your home and your business, give you a full and thorough assessment, and work with you with your insurance company if it has to go that direction. But if you use their services, they will give you a $500 rebate or just $500 off. And you can use that for your deductible, or maybe that's just off your cash purchase.
You'd be foolish not to take advantage of that $500 offer from Florida's Elite Restoration. Smarten up. Take advantage. $500, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Very important to remember. Great savings in these times where everybody's trying to save some money. And Florida's Elite Restoration is top shelf, best in the business when it comes to restoration of your home or your business after a disaster. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. All right, Sage, look, as we mentioned, BillCurryFord.com. Everybody's got to start there. and very easily there, you can just look up the staff listing, get Sean Sullivan, the GM's email, and shoot him any question you want, even if it's about your uncle as he needs to lease a car because he's driving a 72 Chevy and he needs to step it up and be safe. Whatever it is, Sean will help you. He'll guide you, even if you don't buy a vehicle. That's the kind of place Bill Curry Ford is. Family owned. He's going to help you. Bill Curry Ford. That's Sean Sullivan, the general manager. All right, Ira, look, Devin White was talking and Lee wrote up the story. He wants to take his, take that Luke Kuechly step, and he wants to be more like Luke Kuechly, et cetera, et cetera. As soon as I saw that, my first thought was, what the hell is Levante David thinking reading that and hearing that? What the hell is that? You've got a guy, Levante David, who's a superstar in his own right, right there. One people think is very underrated, and White has seen him every day and for years, and he wants to be like Luke Kuechly, Ira.
Well, I understand it to a point. Levante David, I take no pleasure in saying this. He's not going to make it to Kent. He's not. He's just not. He doesn't have the hardware, Lee.
Sure he does. He
doesn't have it, Lee. He doesn't have it.
What's that hunk of metal around one of his fingers?
Hardware is all pros. Hardware is Pro Bowls. Hardware is not 1,218 career tackles. It's not good enough, Lee. It's not good enough. He's one of those guys that's very good, but not a Hall of Famer. That's going to be his destiny. Kuechly, for whatever reason, it has a good chance to end up in Kent. A good chance. And when they went head-to-head, Kuechly was considered the better player than Levante David, rightfully or wrongfully. Now, what I liked about what White said, Lee, is his acknowledgement that he's got to be a little more cerebral out there. He's got to think the game better because his athleticism is off the board. Lee, we know that. We know mm-hmm. that. But he takes some bad angles. He's not good in coverage, Lee. He's not. He's gotten better, but he's not where he needs to be. So, Lee, the fact that he acknowledges that in his own way, I don't mind it.
What I thought was humorous about his appearance at the podium, you know, he kept talking about, I need to be in better. I need to have a better diet. I got to quit rewarding myself with Chick-fil-A on Monday. And he went on and on about his diet. He's got to be more consistent on his diet. Okay. And I got to think, wait a minute. How many times in practice, the guy across the line of scrimmage from him is the ultimate diet guy when it comes to athletes, has his own product, sells his own product right out of the same building, one buck place. Another guy on the other side of the offense or this line of scrimmage, Mike Evans. He took the TB12 method last year. He crowed how he was in the best shape of his life because of it. It is obviously he didn't lose any, that I recall, he didn't lose any playing time with a bum hamstring. Like it was like an annual, it's like an annual holiday in a sense. Every year he goes down with a hamstring, except for last year because he's on TB12. How much more of an incentive do you need to take care of your diet and take advantage of TB12 or whatever the hell else you want to buy? And he's wolfing down Chick-fil-A's. Like, come on. What better examples do you need? You got it right in front of your face. I just didn't get that.
This is a rare case, Steve, where the Brady effect has not taken hold on Devin White. Rare.
Well, Ira, this is a topic that's very, that you really have some sage wisdom on. After you write a good column on Sunday night, your 10 takeaways, and, you know, it's Monday, you head over to Chick-fil-A to reward yourself. What is the sage order at Chick-fil-A, Ira? And, how do you treat yourself on a Monday afternoon?
Well, that chicken sandwich, Lee, I mean, there's a reason people wait in their cars 35 minutes. There's a reason. It's one tasty product, Lee. It's tasty. Now, do I want to know the ingredients and the calorie count? No, I do not, Mr. DeKemper. No, I do not.
I really, do you get large fries, small fries? What do you get?
I go small. I go small. but I get two orders. Two orders of small. It makes me feel better than getting a big.
I thought I was going to say he gets the number one combo with spicy strips on top of it.
I did want to mention, just to be fair, Mike Evans did leave the Saints game with a hamstring injury last year in the 9-0 shutout, and he did have a hamstring issue last year. So just to be fair,
Generally speaking, it's not training camp until Mike Evans has a dinged hamstring.
There you go.
Sure.
And that didn't happen last year. TB12.
No, and the coach just said he was in the best shape of his life. But Ira, I got to slap you around a little bit. I'm sorry. I got to slap you around. It's a tradition on this podcast, and I think I speak for a lot of Bucks fans here, so I got to slap you around. Now, Lavonte David's not done yet with his career, Ira, and it's very conceivable that if, assuming his foot's healthy this year and he plays, it probably wouldn't be in Tampa, but it's very conceivable that he could go 4 or 5 more years. And it's also very conceivable he could win his second Super Bowl this year. And it's also very conceivable if he plays another 4 years, Ira, he will pass, just on the numbers, he's going to pass Brian Urlacher, Junior Seau, and solo tackles. He's going to have extraordinary career numbers. He's already up in the among the all-time greats with forced fumbles. So I'm going to say, no, he's not out of the woods yet. And while he doesn't have the hardware you're talking about, I think he does have a chance. If he gets a second Super Bowl and he racks up some crazy career numbers, I think he's got a shot. How about that?
I think it's unlikely that he plays 4 or 5 more years, Steve. I think it's unlikely. It's not impossible. You know, for a linebacker who relies on his speed mostly, it's difficult to maintain that in your mid-30s. It's difficult. But Bobby Wagner's still going. He's still going, Lee. And he's a guy that's often compared to Lavonte David. For some reason, he's a media darling, and David is not. He's not.
I think it really boils down to Lavonte's not – he's not comfortable with the media. He's not a bad guy. Please, I hope anybody's listening doesn't misunderstand. He's a great guy with us. He's very cooperative. It's not his cup of tea. And I remember that one time, you were there, Ira, at the Super Bowl in Phoenix, that Lavonte David was so teed off that he kept missing Pro Bowls despite putting up all these numbers. I guess his agent talked him into going to Radio Row and getting his name out there. And lo and behold, the next year, he's in the Pro Bowl. Maybe a year ago, I looked up some stats with Lavonte, and the normal defensive stats, he's right up there with Kuechly. He's right up there with Kuechly. But if you go to the advanced stats, he's up there with the very best. He's up there with the J.J. Watts. He's up there with the Ray Lewis's. I mean, it's a who's who of football greats. So, you know, I know it's not a big deal right now with the Hall of Fame voters. They're not so much into the next-gen stats, the advanced stats, but younger voters are. And as older guys decide to retire or they filter out of that room and they're replaced by younger guys who embrace the advanced stats more and the next-gen stats more, I think that will help out Lavonte. And as I stated a little bit ago, he's got the ultimate hardware. It's called the ring around his finger that Kuechly doesn't have.
It's hard for guys who make their reputation, Steve, as tackle machines. And I'll give you an example as Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas has some astronomical metrics in terms of tackles. He does. But he's also got, you know, 3, 4, 5 All-Pros and a bunch of Pro Bowls. He doesn't have the Super Bowl ring. And Thomas can't get in. Now, he might get in next year, but he's been at the door for 4 years, and he can't knock it down. And Dolphin fans are beside themselves on Zach Thomas. It's going to be hard, Steve, because the presenter, and who knows who it's going to be, Steve, because if he plays another 5 years and then you got to wait 5 years, that's 10 years. And, Steve, safe to say, I still won't be doing it 10 years from now. I'm sorry. Sorry, Steve, sorry.
Ira, the president of the United States would be older than you in 10 years. So cut that out. Don't be ridiculous. I think you can handle, I think you could freaking handle one trip to Cleveland to put your vote in.
Ira, I think you may agree with me on this one. You know what hurts Levante in the long run or short run, actually? You know what really hurts Levante? It hurts him more than it hurts Cakley, than it hurts Bobby Wagner. You know what really hurts Levante? He played on some of the most atrocious teams human beings have ever seen. No, seriously. And that's why he didn't get, that's one big reason why he didn't get Pro Bowls. You know, his, the broadcast crew that did his games was Dick Stockton, whatever flunky Fox could pick up. It was always the schmucks, the number five team, because the Bucks were pathetic. And that hurt him more than just about anybody.
Steve, I'll end it with this. All I'm saying is, from a presenter standpoint, of course, I, you know, I've been doing it since 2005. You need some ammo. John Lynch had 9 Pro Bowls. I mean, he had ammo. You know, he had 3 or 4 All Pros. Now, David could go in there. He's short on this. He's short on this. He's not an All Decade player. Sapp's a 2-time All Decade player. Brooks is All Decade. It's going to be very, very difficult, even if he plays another 4 years. It's going to be very difficult.
I hear you, Sage, but you can't compare him to Sapp or Brooks. Those are first ballot guys. I mean, this year, Levante David's going to pass Sam Mills in tackles. And if he goes 4 more years, that means he'll play 32, 33, 34, and 35, which is not outrageous. He's going to be like top 15 all-time in tackles. And he's going to have all these marks and be ahead of all these Hall of Famers. And if they can squeeze another Super Bowl, Ira, I think he's a guy who, once he's on the list, you know, 10, 11 years, maybe he gets into the room. You know, one of those guys.
What carried more weight with the Hall of Fame voters? John Lynch's Pro Bowls or the fact that John Lynch was the starting safety on one of the greatest defenses in NFL history?
The latter, by far.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
All right, Sage. Now, look, before we get out of here, I got to hit you with something that's intriguing. And we need your sage wisdom, and then we'll get out of here, and we'll be back for our second podcast this week. We appreciate everybody listening at joebucksfan.com, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever. Sage, Devin White talked about new plays in the defense this year. Shaq Barrett referenced new plays in the defense, and they made a big deal about it. Like, of course, every year there's some new wrinkles thrown into the defense, and we've heard since Todd Bowles arrived, he's a mastermind. It's a complicated defense because he's always looking to put guys in the right position, and he's got all kinds of packages and all this other stuff. But it's a little bit over the top from what we heard from Shaq Barrett and Devin White, to the point where maybe Bowles is making more significant changes. Or maybe he's taking more input from his new co-defensive coordinators a little bit. I don't know. But it certainly sounds like some significant change is coming.
Steve, you know, that's an interesting point you just made, that second one. Lee, he's still going to be the defensive mastermind of the 2022 Bucks. In that sense, it's not going to change. But Lee, he's also going to be in the offensive rooms. Things are going to change for Todd Bowles. He's going to be involved with special teams a little bit.
He needs to be.
And he needs to be. He wants to be involved. This is on him. It's going on his record. He's not cubbyholed, you know, pigeonholed in that defense. For example, when he was named the head coach, he hadn't done any scouting on tape at all. Zero. On any offensive players that were prospects in the draft. Zero.
Why should he admit it?
And then he had to have a crash course. So I think Steve's point about taking more input from his coaches, and I think that's a natural progression, Lee. When you become a head coach, you're a CEO. You got to put out fires. You can't be nearly as focused, Lee. You can't. And his mind is going to drift from all these defensive responsibilities. And if he's smart, I think he's going to give a little more input to the guys around him, who he knows very well. They're not strangers to him. And I think they might welcome that, and they might have some ideas of their own about this defense.
What's your reaction to this, Ira? Devin White came out, he said new defense, and he quickly like, oh, we're just trying new things. He tried to walk that back immediately. Like he's like, he caught himself saying something he shouldn't have said. That was the vibe I got. And Shaq Barrett all but said new defense. Like, and as Steve said, they weren't trying to hide it, they were working on different stuff. And this is the first thing I thought of when I heard those guys talking about this. Are they working on new things? Are they changing the defense because JPP and Sue won't be there?
Interestingly, I don't see him going back to a traditional 4-3. I don't, because to me, Will Golston is the perfect left end in a three-man front. He won't be nearly as effective. So I don't think they're going to make that change. Lee, didn't Devin White also, maybe the last thing he might have said is something about cover two. We got to get rid of the cover two or something.
Hey, just make sure Bowles knows I don't like cover two or something to that effect.
You know, Steve, that's a reflection, I think, again, of White's acknowledgement of his relative weaknesses in the passing game. And he's got a long way to go in that regard. Steve, I really thought he was coming on. Steve, in the postseason of 2020, made that great interception against Breeze. Remember when he said, I'm going to turn this game around, and then he did it. And then, of course, he had a pick in the Super Bowl. I don't think he took the next step in his pass coverage, and I think that's the thing that's really keeping him from breaking through, Steve.
Well, it's obvious they're changing the defense because Tom Brady went to the Glazers and said, look, you fire Bruce Arians and you change the defense to this, and I'll come back. And that's the only thing that's going on here.
Is Brady telling him who's going to win the battle between Suck Up and Borealis? Is Brady in on that too, Steve?
Wait, Borealis, I think that's a planet. It's Borealis, Ira. It's Borealis. All right, so Ira, look.
Borealis, isn't that the rings around Saturn?
Might be the Northern Lights, Lee.
Northern Lights. You're right. You're exactly. All right, Aurora Borealis.
That's right.
Ira, take us out of here strictly on, because we have to know, pound and a half is a pound and a half, all those carbs. What'd you eat for dessert at the wedding? We got to hear it.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't have some wedding cake. Lee, you got to have some wedding cake. And then the cannolis came out, to Kemper. Then
was it an Irish wedding?
No, a totally Italian wedding.
Yeah, I know. I'm being sarcastic.
You know, with the good icing, with the good filling, not that junk you get at Publix. You know, after my second one, I was ready to leave.
You can't go wrong with good cannoli. You can't.
No, you can't.